From the studios of WMAA-FMHD, welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WMAA-FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I have with me today...
Oh, Dr. Funderburk, you've got your husband, Keith Funderburk.
Yay!
Man, you know, we out here, we in the park, we're just relaxing, we're recording the show. Look, you can't beat this Carolina weather.
You're right. You are exactly right.
So, you know, if the audience, if they're hearing the show right now, we just wanted to come outside and enjoy it, be a part of nature, and more importantly, Dr. Funderburk.
Yeah. Who are you?
Yeah, I got a special name for this week.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. I got a special name, and it's a two-part name.
I didn't know we had parts to this.
Yeah, you know how it is. You know, you got everybody got Betsy Sue and anime, you know, all that. That kind of, you know, that's how we do.
Okay.
Okay, so what I want you to do is my name is Mo.
Okay, Mo. And that's the first part?
That's the first part.
Okay.
Yeah, so, man, and then, you know, the nickname part is Money.
Your name is Mo Money.
Mo Money. Anybody seen Mo Money? There it is right there.
Mo Money, Money, Mo.
There it is. See, sometimes, and look, if you don't want to call me Mo, you can just call me Money.
Hey, Money.
What's up, Money? See, that's what I'm saying. See, right there, right there.
This dude is hilarious, y'all. So you know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So that's right. See, Dr. Funderburk, you got to know how you roll up in the hood.
And I need to know how to address you, right?
That's
so I need
right.
to do it right.
Mr. Moment.
Mr. Moment. Put some respect on your name.
Respect. We got some respect in this principality. There are some principalities about this, Dr. Funderburk.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, now when I, when I go up and see the man, it's not Mo Money.
It's Mr. Mo.
It's Mr. Mo. You got to tell when you go up in, you know, in the bank office.
But that's right. They got to put that respect.
That's right. My name is Mr. Mo.
Okay. So, Mr. Mo.
Yes.
We're talking to somebody today, right?
That is. So, we're talking to, look, we got an expert today, y'all.
Expert. Not, and you know what? She's an expert, not just because she, like, went to school for a long time, has a big brain, and really knows all the stuff that she's talking about. Mm-hmm. But she's an expert because actually, kind of like maybe one or two of our other guests, we have history.
Yes.
Yes, we have history. And she and I went to the same high school.
What?
E.E. Smith Golden Bulls.
Okay. Then
that's right.
We
Bull Pride.
That.
That's right. Bull Pride.
That's right. That's right. And I promise you, look, don't make these Golden Bulls will rise up just like the Aggies will. Okay. So don't do that.
Be careful now. Be careful. You got another Smith in Greensboro that I went to. Now, there's some Eagles.
Okay,
so
look.
We rise high.
Look,
we rise.
Look, okay. We won't.
Yeah, we're not
gonna
go.
It's not competition. All it's right. not competition.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I won't say why it's not competition, okay, but it's not competition.
Okay, not today. Not today.
But yes, yeah, so I've known her. I've known her for a very long time. But also, she is an Aggie, y'all.
Uh-oh.
She had to get it in there. She had to get
Aggie
it in there. I was going to try to wait till at least I said her name. And that means we just have to do it again. So we have with us today Dr. LaToya Wiley. Mm-hmm. Dr. Wiley is a finance professional, and she has been in the world of finance for close to 30 years, about 27 years, I think she told me. And wow. So you all, she's going to be talking to us today about the world of finance, but specifically, we're going to just bring it down to where real life, everyday folks are. We're going to look at just the budgeting, the just financial stability and survival. We're going to kind of dig into that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But before we do, we're going to do it on three. Okay, Dr. Wiley.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm ready.
All right. We got a 1, 2, 3. Aggie Pride. Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's right. She is a graduate of North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University. So that lets you really know that she knows what she's talking about. So let's dive in right now. Dr. Wiley, how you living? How you doing today?
Oh, I am living fine, enjoying my Aggie friends, and I'm glad we're having this great weather.
Absolutely. So, you know, there is so much, uncertainty in our world today, in our nation today, and people are nervous. People are holding their dollars. They're not even sure how their dollars might be coming in or not. So when we look at financial survival, financial stability, you've got prices rising. What's the first thing that, you know, working folk like most of us should do to get a handle on finances?
Well, that's a great question. I think the first thing that we all need to remember is just to stay calm and not try and react to every single thing that's happening in the news regarding the economy. It's just good to know where you stand, you know, what your earnings are, you know, how you spend, and stay grounded in that.
I like that stay calm piece, because I think you're right, or I think this is where you were going with it, that when you're, you know, when you're not calm, you're either upset, you're anxious, you're scared, you're like a lot of those other things. And that doesn't, when we make a decision in the midst of an emotion, it's usually not the best decision.
Right. And we know that budgeting is just making decisions about the money that we bring in, the money that goes out. It's just our financial plan. So just like with anything else, we make better decisions when we're calm. So we just need to make sure that we're making the right decisions for our families and for our priorities that we have.
Man, you know, and this is just so important right now for America today. You know, right here in Greensboro, North Carolina. You know, look, I went over there to the local shopping center, tried to give me some eggs. Look, I can't even scramble my eggs anymore, Dr. Funderburg. You know, you're not allowing me to eat my eggs anymore.
Because it's 50 cents more per egg. So
so it's like, man, what a brother going to do? I'm sitting down, I got my grits, and I can't have my eggs. And so for some of us, you know, eggs, it might be for me eggs. For you, it might be something else. So trying to work around a budget. Now, Dr. Wiley, you know, for some people, getting a budget, well, I ain't got no budget because I'm going week to week or month, you know, check to check. So what we going to do now? Because I ain't got no time for a budget. I don't even know how to do a budget.
Well, really, regardless of whether we say we have a budget or not, we really do, because all a budget is our plan for spending and earning money. So as we understand our earnings, whether it's a job or a business, and where our money goes, our inflows and outflows, that's our budget. It's just the boundaries around how we have our financial planning. Regardless of whether we call it that or not, we all have some sort of budget in place.
So I think what you're saying is, if we don't, because the budget is us kind of telling the money where to go.
Right.
So if we don't tell it where to go, it's going to go where it chooses to go.
So it's as how well do we plan? That's the budgeting. That's the extent of budgeting. Just planning, how are we going to allocate our resources? And remember, sometimes resources are not just money. They may be time. They may be expertise. All of those things that you can use to get to where you need to go. Mm-hmm. That's your plan. So just remembering that you always have options and that you always can make decisions for yourself that based on your needs and wants that are best for you. Now, like Mr. Funderburk was talking about with the eggs, sometimes you do have to make decisions about how you, if you want the dollar to go here or if you want the dollar to go there, but that is you executing your plan. So just remember that everyone, all of us are operating in a budget.
Yeah.
Wow. See, this is why you listen to How You Live a Show About Life with the Funderburks. We're talking about practical things that's going to impact your life. You got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburk. And, of course, we got our resident expert about money, about finances, y'all, Dr. LaToya Wiley. Okay, so let me ask you this question then. So is now, you know, I keep hearing about layoffs. You know, for some people, they would just lay it off today. They driving home right now, Dr. Wiley. They would just lay it off to just today. And they don't know what's going to happen next. They don't know, you know, about their unemployment, you know, they're concerned about what's going to happen next. You know, help people understand about dealing with this uncertainty, you know, or sometimes I think I've heard people, I've seen in some resources where you have an emergency fund. What do you think about this emergency fund?
Well, usually an emergency fund is just setting aside funding for immediate use, liquid dollars that you can use in the case of what we would call an emergency, where you need money now. Usually people first have to go back to that planning. You have to understand what your outlay, what your expenses are, say a month, a week, whatever your time period is. Most people do it on the month. And then plan out, set aside that amount for 3 to 6 months. That's generally how we build an emergency fund. But it's good to start small. It doesn't have to be all of that amount all at once. You can work towards that goal by being strategic and allowing yourself to make good decisions about, hey, I'm going to sacrifice this week's ice cream cone to put towards my emergency fund. So just making those good choices and understanding what you have to work with and what you have already committed to doing with your finances.
So what then is your thought on, there are some plans out there that use like the envelope method or the cash stuffing, some places might call it, or the envelope, where you put the cash in the envelope for, you know, there's the envelope for groceries, the envelope for just fun money, the envelope for, I don't know, whatever other things that you would have to get. Yes. What, sir? Mr. Moe?
Look, see, Big Mama, she put it in the bed. Right under the mattress. Right under the mattress.
Right. You're right.
Right. That is, I think, any way that you decide that you want to save or invest is better than no way at all.
Okay.
So some of those methodologies, I would say that they should probably be a beginning, not necessarily the end game. I know most of us have heard of financial institutions. Most of us have engaged with a financial institution of some sort. The thing to remember about that, and it's great to have your envelopes, but as you get to the point where you want to transition to a financial institution, my recommendation would be just to understand the terms and the offerings for that institution, what the interest rates are, how much fees do they charge you to have an account. Those types of basic things are essential whenever you're thinking about moving from your envelopes to an institution.
Gotcha.
Wow. Yeah.
And you know what? Can I jump in, sir? I thought you were about to. Okay. You mentioned the word investment or investing, and a lot of people feel like investing is only for the wealthy. What's your take on that?
Oh, no. Investing is, it's just a matter of understanding what your dollars are being used, when your dollars are being used. So saving is when is for now.
Mm-hmm.
Investing is for the future.
Okay.
So for your financial plan to build that out, you really should have a savings part of your plan and an investing part of your plan. And most of us have opportunities to invest. You can invest in different types of vehicles, anywhere from real estate. If you have a home that you purchased,
mm-hmm.
that's an investment. Mm-hmm. Some people want like safe investments, short-term investments, like a certificate of deposit that you can go. It's like an extended savings account where you can put your money in and let it sit for just a few months and then get a return.
Mm.
Actually, with how the economy and the uncertainty with the economy, I'm not sure if anybody's paying attention to what's happening with the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
As the stocks are going fluctuating,
mm-hmm.
it may be a good time actually to get into investing in stocks where you owning a part of a company,
mm-hmm.
Because stock prices are dropping. And if you can buy a stock lower than mm-hmm. your investment, and then let it sit, then your investment will extend to be more beneficial to you. So it's just understanding that there are different ways that you can go about investing, anywhere from, you know, you may invest in a person. You may know a young person who is trying to start a business and they need some investors, and you may make terms with them. It's just, there's no one way to do it. So you just have to do your research and understand what your risk tolerance is.
Mm-hmm.
When I say risk, that just means that, you know, what's the likelihood that the value of your dollar will increase mm-hmm. or decrease. Most of us now, you really have to, that's a part of your planning. You have to assess what your risk tolerance is.
Mm-hmm.
Am I really willing to be risky with my dollar and take it to a stock market versus taking it to a local bank
mm-hmm.
to let it. Usually the more risky the investment,
mm-hmm.
the higher the return, which is the more you would make on that dollar. So you really just have to assess your appetite and see what your tolerance levels are and do research, explore, open your mind to different options as well.
Mm-hmm. So then if somebody only has like a little extra money each month,
mm-hmm.
is it better to invest it or is it better to save it?
That will all depend on their plan and their situation. We're all different, right?
Mm-hmm.
A family that may have small children who maybe looking to save for college. They may have a student that may be going into college next year.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a person who might want to save instead of investing, because usually investments are more beneficial if you do it over time and you allow them to grow, let their investments grow. So it just depends on the situation. As long as you are making deliberate decisions about what to do with mm-hmm. your dollar, I think that is you can find a way to fit it into your plan, either one.
Deliberate decisions. So that means that, yeah, you are working on a plan and not just survival.
Yes. And one thing, too, that usually should be a part of your plan is debt planning as well. And debt can be anywhere from using a credit card to, again, buying a house. You have to be deliberate with debt as well and be very, very strategic with what you're trying to do. Because your credit score, I don't know if you are familiar, but the credit score is usually based on the FICO score, which is, it ranges from 300 to 850. Usually when people are thinking about debt, it depends on somebody's, your credit is someone's ability, their willingness. Your higher your score is, the more willing they are to allow you to borrow mm-hmm. money or to get an asset.
Mm-hmm.
So usually a low score will allow you less flexibility than a high score will. So most of us shoot for that 850 score,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that using credit cards, those revolving retail accounts, all of those things affect your FICO score, even paying your bills on time. So probably the most simplistic way to instill the good debt planning during this time, even if funds are limited, is to limit those high interest transactions with credit cards and like payday loans, different places like that. Not good for your credit score. And think about more just being consistent and paying those bills that you have on time. That increases your score. Understanding, doing research, there's a lot of things out there that you could find, a lot of information out there about what increases your score, what decreases your score. Obviously, missing payments, for example, would decrease your score. So if you're thinking about, for example, maybe purchasing a home, then you want that score to be higher. You want to think about what you can do in this environment to affect what you want to do for your future. Just things, just being consistent, paying your bills on time. If there's something that you can, just a strategy, you may want to just attack your lowest debt and just pay it off. Paid off debt raises your score. So let's say you have two credit cards. One has a lower balance, one has a higher balance. You can make payments, minimum payments on both, or you can pay more to pay that lower one down, and then that'll be, that'll raise your score. And then you can apply what you were paying on that lower one to the higher one and pay that one off faster. So just thinking through very simply, how do you plan to manage those pieces, whether it's savings or investing or debt or just regular spending? Just making sure you're making good choices is the key.
Wow. See, this is, again, Dr. Wiley, you breaking it down for the brother. So I want to ask this question. Again, this question is going to be for both of you guys, because this deals with the family. Some of us, we're having difficulty dealing with money. You know, anytime we talk about money in the house, man, I swear, I think I'm getting ready. There's going to be some fire. There's going to be some people throwing punches. I just don't know. So let me see. What do you think about money and families and how it's impacting relationships?
Yes, as far as with families, that goes back to your planning. Everyone that affects your spending and how you bring money, whether it be two-person household or a 5 to 10-person household, that whole team needs to be a part of your planning. You need to understand, everybody needs to understand and be on the same page about what's coming in, what our priorities are, what's important to us, what our needs and wants are, how we will adjust based on anything that's changing, and making sure that everyone's on the same page will really dissipate some of the angst as far as making decisions. A lot of times it's very important to pre-think a lot of things. For example, you may have a family of five, and it might be good to huddle everyone and say, hey, we're eating out one time this week. What day would you like to do it? Something as simple as that would just getting everyone involved, getting everyone on the same page. Usually that helps to keep you from having to make those reactive money decisions, which is what typically gets us into overspending.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes it really is really interesting, because different people in the house might feel that they control the money, or, you know, and a lot of times I put it on the table, ladies. Men have a tendency to think just because they might be the breadwinner that I can control where the money goes. But if that man is like me, he might be the spender. And so I like to spend money. I mean, that's what I like to do. But at the end of the day, my wife has better saving patterns. But Dr. Funderburg, is money impacting families, marriages, relationships? What do you think from a mental health perspective?
Oh, it absolutely is. Because when the money gets funny, it's kind of like nothing feels right. It brings about a level of stress that is heavy and burdensome. And Dr. Wiley mentioned angst. She mentioned that bringing the family together to have a conversation about what the eat out day is going to be can decrease the angst. That angst that's anxiety. And by the way, that I think that plan is a wonderful idea, because what that does is that invites the whole family in and gets people on the same page and allows them to have input, which also allows them to have buy-in. They'll buy into the plan, which actually means they're much more likely to participate willingly in the plan. So that all helps to keep a happy family as a happy family. We know life has its ups and downs, but when we can communicate respectfully to each other and allow input, even when things have to get tight, because it's only tight for, a while. It's not tight forever and ever and ever, especially when you are willing to make a good plan. So keep that in mind. Where you are now is not where you will always be, especially if you have a good plan. So keep that piece in mind, because sometimes when you're in the middle of it, it just feels like, oh my gosh, we're in the middle of it, and it feels like we've been in the middle of it for quite a bit. But it's going to move. The cloud is going to move. It's just, you need to be ready when it does move. And so you want to have your things in place. You want to have had your conversations. You want to still have good relationships there so that when the cloud does move and everything it feels a little bit better, you still like each other enough to be able to stand each other, to live in the same home. You don't want to mess up relationships for something that is temporary, because the relationships are very important. We have to have people to connect with in our lives, especially when things get tough.
Wow. Okay, Dr. Funderburk.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, look, you can take the checkbook.
Y'all heard him.
Okay, if you're going to take the checkbook, but can you give me $5?
See,
I gotta go get it. I gotta go give me some chicken.
Stop it. Just stop.
I gotta go get me some chicken.
Just make sure it's grilled. Thank you.
Oh,
all right.
God, who got time for grilled chicken? All right, Dr. Funderburk, I guess we gotta get up out of here. Dr. Wiley, we're in Georgia today.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Absolutely. We'll bring you back too.
Absolutely.
You know what, you all, thank you so much for joining in with us today on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. If you have any comments or questions, please make sure that you're messaging us at WNAAcommunity@gmail.com. And we're looking for you to join us at least one more time for this semester, again, on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests, and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.